Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be with you this morning. Got a little dosing, at least out where I live, a little dosing of the fourth taste of the feast to come. It rained on us this morning, so getting us prepared in that way. I want to remind you, and this time, to fill out the prayer cards and the attendance cards. Holders will pick them up during the hymn. So just wanted to remind you of that ahead of time. That's what Pastor Doug told me to do. And I just exchanged texts with him. He's doing pretty good. Says he's coming along. His follow-up appointment is this week. So let's stand, greet each other, share the peace of the Lord with each other at this time, please. And let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we sing together. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you and for me, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. and is a called and ordained servant of the word, and by his authority I therefore announce to you the forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord be with you. And let us pray together. O Lord of grace and mercy, teach us by your Holy Spirit to follow the example of your Son in true humility, that we may withstand the temptations of the devil and with pure hearts and minds avoid ungodly pride. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is from Proverbs chapter 25. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from silver and the smith from material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as those in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 14. And one Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine in the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. And then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. And now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give up your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher,' and then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And he said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, and you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
And you may be seated.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to focus in this message on the gospel reading that we just read, and maybe invite you also to follow along. If you have your Bibles with you, if you want to pull the Bibles out of the pew racks, the ones in the pew racks, Luke 14, page 873, if you want to follow along in that way. I cannot remember a time in my life when I did not know Jesus as my Savior. I can say that because I grew up in a Christian family, a Christian home. My mom and dad led us to church Sunday after Sunday. And so I can say that I did not have a time in my life that I did not know that Jesus is my Savior. But I can remember times in my life when I have forgotten the comfort and the hope that comes with that assurance. And I can also remember times in my life when I have not been real keen on living out all that that means as a child of God. But I've also come to know over the years that many folks inside as well as outside of the church really don't live with that hope and that assurance, but only live with an understanding of a God who judges and demands from them. And they live with an image of the church or the family of God as a place where I can't get in if I don't believe this, this, and this, or if I don't do this, this, and this. And so the picture and the question remains, is this relationship with our God based first on God's grace, or is this relationship with our God based on rules and demands and behaviors? And I want to say, I bring that up not as strictly points of doctrine or theology or rules of the church, because I believe that question is really all about life and assurance and a knowledge of our value and hope from the one who made us. Jesus had, it seemed, a kind and giving heart. He seemed to take pleasure in mingling with folks. And with all of his holiness and majesty and glory, he was a caring and a social being. And so in this gospel reading for today, it says that one Sabbath when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being watched closely. And there in front of him was a man who was suffering from an abnormal swelling within his body. We call it dropsy. And Jesus said to the Pharisees and those experts of the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And how did they answer him? You're right. They were silent. And so taking hold of the man, Jesus healed him, and he sent him on his way. And then he turned to those Pharisees who maybe had set all of this up to begin with, and he asked them directly, if one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? And how did they answer that? They had nothing to say. And then he tells them a parable. And it seems that Jesus addresses in that parable this mad dash that usually takes place for that prized place at the Pharisees' banquet table. And the reading says he noticed how the guests picked up the places of honor at the table. And he taught them about living humility. And he taught them about taking the lower seat so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to the best seat. And then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. And then there's that phrase that he winds up that section by saying, for all of those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And he then continues the parable, turning to the host, and saying, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your sisters or your relatives or your rich neighbors, so you will be repaid by them. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, Jesus in this parable promises that you will be repaid at the resurrection of the dead. Those readings are not primarily about the rules of healing or the rules of traditions or the rules of dinner practices or even the way that we treat strangers. This reading in this parable is primarily about us. And it's about Jesus' relationship with us. And it's about the way life and grace from Jesus flows to us and from us to others around us and then back again to us. The primary two commandments that God has given to us, the primary two commandments that appear over and over again throughout Old Testament and New Testament, the primary two commandments, of which the ten are a subset of these two, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself in all times and in all circumstances. Love just the same way that God in all times and all circumstances lives love with us. The parable of the banquet is really a parable about us also who think that we can work our way or earn our way into seats and places and positions of privilege and power. And then the course of life knocks us back down the table and we feel lost and alone and abandoned without hope. But God in His grace invites us back up the table. And He seats us right next to Himself. And He loves us and He values us in who we are. And He empowers us and places us in situations where we can live out who we are and be who He made us to be for and with others. And that includes, from that epistle reading from today, those in prison, those who are mistreated, poor, and the crippled, and the lame, and the blind, the physically, spiritually, and emotionally hurting people in our world, in the church, and outside of the church. I'm a big fan of the spiritual writer, Henry Nouwen. I don't know how many of you read his works. One of his daily devotionals was entitled A Safe Place. And Nouwen wrote, being deeply rooted in the love of God, we cannot help but invite people to love one another. When people realize that we have no hidden agenda and no unspoken intentions, that we are not trying to gain any profit for ourselves, and that our only desire is for peace and reconciliation, they may find then the inner freedom and courage to leave their grudges at the door and enter into conversation with their enemies. And many times this happens even without our planning. Our ministry of reconciliation often takes place when we ourselves are unaware of it. Our simple, non-judgmental presence makes it happen. Maybe you've been struggling with the past few days as we've waited on this storm, and as we've gone to the stores and experienced the lines and the empty shelves and even begin to let our minds wander in the severity of the storm and wonder what if. Or maybe you have felt the fear or the frustration through this all as we come to grips with the reality of life and comparing what's in our control and what's not in our control. There are those times in our life when God leads us to step back and to view life and its struggles and its disappointments and its puzzling situations. There's times where He encourages us and leads us to step back and to see life in a larger view. Maybe the way He sees life. The fear, the frustration, the struggles to protect what is ours, at the same time and still love and care for those around us, even the person who took the last case of water. And that larger view helps us to see the importance of showing patience and the importance of a servant's heart and the importance of love for others and the importance of an assurance for each of us as people of God that no matter what happens, we're going to be okay. It's that view that helps us to be filled with gratitude and hope and empowered for life in His name. To God be the glory. Amen. We stand. Profess our faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. Holy Christian and Apostolic Church, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And we continue our worship with our offerings, and you may be seated.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Heavenly Father, thank you for the fact that you gather us together at your table, into your church, into your family. Thank you for giving us that highest place with you. Thank you for bringing us back from those times that we feel that we have been separated from you, or even have separated ourselves from you. And thank you for the assurance that no matter what happens in our lives, you will always be with us, Lord, in your mercy. And Heavenly Father, as we've spent this week, and even some concerns now as we don't know exactly what's taking place with the storm out there, we ask for your peace and your grace to be within us, to assure us of your presence. Assure us that you are the Lord of the wind and the waves. We ask that you be with those who have experienced the wrath of that storm, continuing to experience it now, and to be, and to those who may experience it along the way in this week to come. Be with us, assure us, that nothing in all creation can take us from your love, Lord, in your mercy. And thank you for this body and blood, the bread and the wine, where you assure us in visible terms that you are present and you forgive us and you strengthen us as your people. Bless us as we receive it and as we live in that grace throughout our lives, Lord, in your mercy. And Heavenly Father, hear the prayers of your people at this time.
Most gracious Father, we ask your blessings and give thanks for listening to all the prayers and steering the hurricane away from us, but knowing that you are in control of all things and that your will be done. We ask your prayers on the family of Kathleen. Would you comfort them and give them peace in this family? Because Kathleen went to her heavenly home this week. We ask your blessings also on Kevin Jackson and family, who experienced the death of his daughter Katrina last night. We ask you to comfort and bless and love this family, give them strength, and help them as they are suffering at this time. And we ask your blessings also on Hazel. Today is Hazel's 6th birthday. Thanks for her improvement. Help her to develop to the most of her ability and keep her smiling and happy. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we continue to remember Pastor Doug in our prayers and his recovery, Desiree and the family and all those who are providing care and healing for him at this time. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you." And in the same way also he took the cup after supper and after giving thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of all their sins. Do this as often as you eat it and drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. And as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Thank you.
And let's stand to sing. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give to you his peace. Amen.
Thank you. Go in peace, serve the Lord with joy.